All right, good morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, if you find your place there, if you'll stand with me, if you're able to stand. For the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 13. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again so very thankful for another opportunity to be in your house. Another opportunity, Father, I'm so thankful that you give me to be able to preach your word. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would give me boldness to proclaim it, that you would put the very words in my mouth, that you would be with each one of us as we hear the word, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. And Father, I pray that your word would not return unto your void, as your word says it won't. I pray that you'd be lifted up and glorified. I pray that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your name. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts 4:13 states here, says something about these dedicated Christians. It says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing that they had seen that they had been with Jesus. This word knowledge in our text is the word epignosi. I knew I was going to mess this one up. Epignosko. And it means to know upon some mark, recognize, to become fully acquainted with, to acknowledge, to perceive. They saw in these men's lives that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge. They took note. They noted that these men had been with Jesus. Wow. Can you imagine people taking note that they knew that we had been with Jesus? Yeah. What a blessing. What a blessing. They had come to know something with certainty. They didn't question. They knew for sure these men had been with Jesus. So how did they come to know that? They saw a difference in their lives. There was something different about them after they had spent time with Jesus. But let me just say this. We spend some time with Jesus, people are going to notice. There's going to be a difference. Without a doubt, these men were some of the greatest Christians that ever walked this earth. It was because they spent time with Jesus. This definite difference. Definite difference. Not just a, I wonder if those guys had been with Jesus. No, they knew for sure those men had been with Jesus. And it wasn't because they were walking around with a shirt on that says, "I spent time with Jesus today." Their life showed
that they'd spent time with Jesus. This group probably made a bigger impact in the world than any other since then. Amazing. In our text, when the lost world takes notice that there's some major changes in someone's life, and they see that it took place when they spent time with Jesus. See, there's a lot to be said about spending time with Jesus. I've said over and over and over, start your day spending time with Jesus, right? It is amazing how much better the day goes when you start the day with Jesus. You spend some time with Jesus, let me just say this, Jesus will rub off on you. There will be a difference. There will be a noticeable difference. We say this too, the people you associate with will have an impact on your life, whether it be for good or whether it be for bad. They will have an impact on your life. Isn't that why we tell our children not to associate with bad people? We don't want them to be influenced by those bad people. That's why we do that, right? We warn our teens, don't be getting involved with somebody who is not saved. We don't want them to have an influence on them and have them do something that will affect the whole rest of their life. So we warn them. Let me tell you, Elon Musk has been in the news a lot, off and on, since Trump's campaign and all. And Elon Musk is a brilliant man. Yeah. He surrounds himself with brilliant people. And he ends up with successful companies because of it. He doesn't go out and find people who are not brilliant to associate with. He doesn't do that because he knows they will have an impact on his life. So he finds brilliant people to surround himself with and then grows great, very successful businesses. One of the reasons that God established the church was because he knows that during the week we have to be out there rubbing shoulders with the lost world. We need to get into the church so we can be around godly people, because we need that influence in our lives. It's important that we mingle with other godly people. When we cease to be faithful to the house of God, we end up spending more time with the ungodly world that's out there, and that has an effect on our lives, and we become further and further away from God. What we can learn from successful people is that we have to be extremely picky with our time. Do you know the people you choose to spend time with keep you from spending time with other people? Yeah. Right? I've said for years, we all get 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. I think the days are shorter. I think I'm running out of time before the week's up, and I don't get it where it's gone. It's just flying by these days. They say that happens the older you get. Well, if that's the case, I must be about 100, because they seem like they're just flying by. We go Sunday, and the next thing I know, I blink and we're at Sunday again. Where did the week go? But I have to understand that if I make the opportunity to spend time with some people, then I've chosen not to spend that time with other people. We need to choose wisely the people we spend time with, because they will have an influence in our life, whether it be good or bad. We need to be careful and choose wisely. We can learn a lot from people who are successful. We live in what's known as the information age. So interesting. People are always seeking to get information on other people. It's interesting. I used to talk to my brother because he used to do hiring for the company he worked for, and he would do hiring for his areas of that company. He was high up. He was one below the owner in the company, and so he would do the hiring in his areas and stuff. And I asked him, I said, how do you choose? He said, I go on to social media. He says, you can learn a lot about people on social media. He says, if you want to find out if they're an alcoholic, go on social media. You'll see what they do when they're not at work. You want to know if they're a drug addict? Go on social media. He says, you want to know if they're a liar or a cheat or whatever? Go on social media. It's all there. I mean, you can find all kinds of things. What do they do for work? What are their hobbies? You can find out about, are they spiritual or religious? Are they into any kind of organizations? What kind of neighborhood they live in? What kind of family they come from? I guess you can even find out how much money they make a year. All from social media. I said, wow. I don't spend time on it. I don't care about it personally. But a lot of people, they spend a lot of time on there. I used to say all the time, what makes people think they're so important? I care what they had for breakfast. Nobody asked me what I had for breakfast. Why should I care? I mean, are we really that important that everybody needs to know what we had for breakfast? I don't think so. If that's not enough, when you go to court, and it was interesting, I got to spend jury duty for the first part of July, and 3 days I sat on a jury panel. And it's interesting, do you know that these attorneys go on social media and they look up who's going to be on the jury pool and they do their research? And they figure out which ones they want on the jury panel and which ones they don't. And then they hire people to sit in the gallery and watch the jury panel. And one of the things that was said afterwards was, you guys were really hard to read. I said, well, it comes from years of being on the professional standards board at the Board of Realtors. We're taught no facial expressions. You don't nod. You don't wink. You just sit there. You don't sit there with your arms crossed. It looks like you're bored and you're not interested. So just thought I'd let you guys know that. You just sit there, straight-faced, you listen to everything that's said, and you take it in. You don't make facial expressions, you don't nod, you don't shake your head, you don't do anything that's going to make anyone think that you're in agreement with them. They said, it was really hard to tell if we were making a good case or not. But that's how they find out how to get rid of people that they don't want on the jury. It's interesting, isn't it? They know a great deal about the people on that jury pool before they get to even court. And then when they have their right to exercise people being removed, they say, Your Honor, I reject this juror. And out the door you get to go. The best way to gain knowledge about people is to watch which people they associate with. Who do they spend time with? Who is their sphere of influence, so to speak? You want to know what they're like? Check out who they hang out with. Because they're going to be like those that they hang out with. We gravitate towards those people who are like us. It works that way. The reason we associate with the people we do is because we have something in common with them. The early
church Christians spent time with the Lord Jesus. They spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the lost world could clearly see that they had been with Jesus. Jesus made an impact on their lives. There's nothing that you and I can do to revolutionize our lives that's greater than spending time with Jesus. And let me just say this, we can spend as much time with Jesus as we want to. The choice is ours. We get to choose how much time we associate with Him. We can spend time in prayer. We can spend time in His Word. We can spend time in His house. And then we become like those that we associate with. The reason that these New Testament Christians were such great Christians is because they spent time with Jesus. When we spend time in His presence, He rubs off on us and we become more and more and more like Him every single day. In married life, you ever notice that the longer people are married, the more they become like each other? Interesting. You almost get to where you know what they're thinking. That's scary, isn't it? My wife's shaking her head, yes, it's scary, isn't it? Yes, it's scary. But you become more and more alike the more time you spend with each other. You start out and it seems like there's a lot of adjustments needed to be made, and as you go through this life together, you find you become more and more alike. You don't have as many adjustments that have to be made. So I want to look at some of these wonderful characteristics that the lost world recognized as a result of these men being with the Lord Jesus Christ and how it affected them. The first one, I want to look at their fullness. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Today we hear about terrible things taking place in the world. We have people stealing, people killing, raping, molesting, committing incest, practicing homosexuality, gossiping and backbiting, killing babies by abortion. And we ask ourselves, how can people do such things? They can do these things because they're full of the devil. Pretty simple. When God's people get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they do just the opposite. One of the great needs of the church today is for God's people to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not one-fourth, not one-half, not three-quarters, but 100% full of the Spirit of God. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, look what happened. Let's go back to our text, verses 10 through 13. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Bible makes it clear that when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he wanted to make something clear to the world. There were four things in particular that Peter wanted to make clear to the world. They crucified the Son of God. God raised Him from the dead. He is the cornerstone that the builders had rejected. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When did he want to make these things clear to the world? I always like it when you ask questions. It was when he was full of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of a church being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is that we are going to be filled and we're going to go out and we're going to witness to people and let them know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's the Bible standard of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not those that shout the loudest. It's not those who pray the longest. It's not anything about that. The Bible standard of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is that we'll go out and be witnesses for Him. Then people will know. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice God said, "Ye shall receive." Ye shall be witnesses. Witnesses unto what? Unto Him. Unto Him. And let me just say, the Lord didn't say, "You might be." He didn't say, "You ought to become." He didn't even say, "Perhaps you might be." He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Once you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, ye shall receive and ye shall be witnesses unto Him. We have people today that claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they can't remember, if ever, that they shared the gospel with a lost person. I don't know why. I mean, you should remember. The reason the church today can only find a handful of Christians to go out in visitation to witness for the Lord Jesus is because today's church is full of all kinds of things. This might step on some toes. But it certainly is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses go out and they witness because they think they're earning a way to heaven. It's what they think. They got to do good works to get there. Christians do it because the Bible says. The Bible says, "Ye shall receive and ye shall be witnesses." The lost word could tell a noticeable difference in the unlearned men. And it took place when they noticed that they'd been with Jesus. Once they spent time in the presence of the Lord, they began to witness to the lost world for Christ. And number two, look at their fearlessness. When Peter preached these words to them, he was probably preaching to some of the very ones who participated in the crucifying of the Son of God. Can you imagine? Preaching to them, say, "You crucified the Lord of glory. You!" Yeah. They probably didn't like that. One thing to stand up and speak in a crowd of people that believe what you believe. It's easy to talk about Christ when you're in a group of Christians, isn't it? What if you're the only Christian in the group? Not so easy now, is it? Well, it would be if we spent time with Jesus. We spend time with Jesus, it would be different. Hard to tell people the truth of the Word of God when you know they want to tear you apart. It's easier when you've been with Jesus. Isn't that exactly what happened to Stephen? Look at Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60 for the verses. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen was preaching. They didn't like what he was saying. Stephen looked them in the eyes. And the Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Yeah. These are not the kind of people that a preacher enjoys preaching to. They're just not. And I know sometimes when I preach the Word of God, I'm stepping on some toes. I know that happens. I don't like preaching like that. The reason why I don't is because I love you guys. Don't want you to be mad at me. But I do it because that's what God's called me to do. I do it because I love you so much I got to tell you the truth. Sugarcoating it doesn't work. You need the truth. We deserve the truth whether we like it or not. Peter stood before the crowd and preached. He had the courage to probably look the very ones who participated in the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them, "You guys crucified him." We spend time with the Lord, God's courage rubs off on us. And we can witness to the ungodly. Then three, look at their faithfulness. Look at Acts chapter 4, starting verse 18. We'll read through 21. Verse 18 says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Notice they did not suggest that it might be a good thing for them to stop preaching in the name of Christ. They commanded them to stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were commanded not to do it anymore. Let me just say this. No one can command us to stop doing something that God's told us to do. If God's told you to do it, you need to do it. Regardless of what man says. And over in the Scripture we read, in my name, in Jesus' name, or in his name, the devils were powerless because of his name. In Luke 10:17 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." We can have boldness when we've spent time with Jesus and we go in his name. Then the demons were cast out in his name. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. Mark 16, 17 says, "And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Then healing occurred in his name. Look at Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 16. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Then chapter 4 and verse 10, where it says, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Salvation comes in his name. Verse 12 of our text, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then where we be baptized in his name, look at Matthew 28:19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Then we're justified in his name. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Everything we do and say is done in his name. In fact, when most of us pray, we conclude the phrase, right, "in Jesus' name." So what does it mean when we pray in Jesus' name? Well, first of all, we have to recognize we have no authority at all. He has the authority. So if we're going to pray, we have to pray in his authority because we don't have any of our own. So that's why we pray in Jesus' name. Now they're being told by the authorities, "Do not mention the name of Jesus again." And they paid no attention to them. They had to listen to God. God told them, "Go out and be witnesses." They had to preach Jesus to everyone. The Bible does teach us to obey rule of those who have authority over us, right? But, again, no one, absolutely no one, has authority over God. So what God says trumps what man says. God's commanded us to do something, we got to do it. So when these commanded them to not speak or teach the name of Jesus again, they made their position very clear. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 19 through 21 again. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done." The lost world could tell a noticeable difference in these men's lives. Noticeable. They were now faithful unto the Lord, even when they had been commanded not to mention or teach in the name of Christ. They were still faithful. So when did this noticeable difference occur in their lives? I'm trying to make a point here today. When they had spent time with Jesus. That's what it took. This noticeable difference occurred in their life when they spent time with Jesus. There was that noticeable change when they spent time with Jesus. Peter and John stood before the council of religious leaders. We're told they were uneducated and untrained men. Uneducated and untrained men. The truth that knowing the Bible and the real relationship with Jesus is more important than a formal education has been proven in the lives of God's servants again and again and again. I've had some people that have been to Bible college that puts down people that haven't. I've had people that haven't put down those who have. ridiculous, folks. Doesn't matter. Are you spending time with God? Have you spent time with Jesus? I remember years ago, there was a question came up at a church I was at. And one of them said, well, you hadn't been to Bible college yet. And a note was slipped to me across the table. It said, no, but he spent time with Jesus. I appreciated the person who sent that to me. Because they could tell that I'd spent time with Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to make time to spend time with Jesus. It's been proven true. Some uneducated and untrained men, such servants of God as Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, William Carey, and Hudson Taylor. I'm not against education. Don't get me wrong. I sat on the education committee for the Board of Realtors for years. I'm not against education. I went through Bible Institute. I went through Master Life. I went through all that stuff. I'm not against education at all. But it's a wrong thing to think that formal education disqualifies someone for effective service as much as it is automatically qualifies someone for effective service. The boldness of Peter and John came from the fact that they'd been with Jesus. It's interesting to note what the Jewish leaders did not do here. It's really interesting. They did not make any attempt whatsoever to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? I found that interesting as I went through that. I'm like, wow, they didn't even try to disprove this fact. You would think they'd want to. You'd think they'd try to. Problem is, it's not possible to disprove it. Right? I mean, why take time to try and disprove something that you can't disprove? There's no evidence that they could have to disprove it. So, positive proof that Jesus had not actually risen from the dead would have crushed the early Christian movement. They had no proof. Because there is none. They could see the boldness and confidence in what they believed, and they did not try to disprove the fact of the resurrection. Peter and John were bold in what they believed because they'd been with Jesus. These men looked upon John, Peter, and they said, these men have been with Jesus. Can people say that about us? These people have been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunities we have to spend time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that the more time we spend with him, the more we'll become like him. The more bold we'll become in witnessing for him. Father, I pray that we are spending time daily with our Lord and Savior. Father, I also pray this morning if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, for those of us who have, I pray that it can be said about us that we've spent time with Jesus. Pray that the lost world would see that there's something different in our lives, that we are bold about what we believe. Not because it's our authority that we go in, but it's because we go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if we're not doing our part, I pray that we would repent. Get ourselves right with you. and do our part. As we have a time of invitation, Father, we'll turn it over to you, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able to stand this morning. As the piano plays, if you need to come, you come. If you haven't ever accepted Christ as Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you have, you being bold for Jesus, you doing what God called us to do, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we doing our part? As the piano plays, you come if you need to come.